For our final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody is having a good day, considering what we've been through this week. Thinking about a lot of you out there, for sure. Tron Davenport poking his head in here during the break. Tell you what, he's all
working
over these
hard.
All over these interviews, talking to these guys.
He does his homework, man.
Yep.
He connects with those players that coming up through the draft. He has knowledge.
No doubt about it. Every Wednesday at this time, we speak with Chris Mason. He's driven by Freeland Chevrolet. Chris had to juggle some things with the schedule. Speaking of being out in the community, he is doing that, and Pete Weber has been nice enough to slide in his place, and we're excited about that. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing well, but I've never been a goaltender, so I don't know, I'll talk hockey, but I'm not going to be able to talk as intelligently on goaltending as Mr. Mason could.
Yeah, we are not going to ask you to be our e-bug. That's for sure.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Let me start with how are you and Claudia doing? I know, obviously, with this, you had the same schedule as Willie. You had to take off. I haven't talked to Claudia since then. Is everything okay on the home front?
Yes. Now, with the other thing that's going on in the world right now, the coronavirus, she was supposed to have flown to Italy yesterday with a tour group from Nashville. That, because of coronavirus, was canceled. So as a little substitute for that, I'm going to fly her to Columbus next week.
What a swell husband. What a swell guy you are. I mean, she'll forget all about that trip.
Absolutely, because she'll go to her favorite pizza joint from her girlhood in Columbus and look just like she's back in Italy.
Well, you know what? In all seriousness, that if you were ever going to get close, ever, even kind of get close, Columbus is a good place for that's a good place to get Claudia in a good spot. That's a very good point. Now, if you could make a couple Buckeyes, you know, just appear and that she could, you know, hang out with, I don't know, her favorite players or coaches, then, you know, that could be a nice little whipped cream and cherry on top.
Well, maybe if I could possibly get somebody like John Brockington, who was in one of her classes at one point, to show up, that would be great.
The there you go.
Back that people remember from the Packers, I'm sure.
You've got, 10 days to make that happen before that game.
Yes, sir. Just 2 days shy of going back to Minnesota for the second time.
Yeah, that's right. So before we get in to that, what did you make of it? Looks like some things are coming out of the general manager meetings down in Boca Raton. The offsides, it looks like it's headed that direction. What's been your takeaway on what you, I know you've been working too and limited amount of time, but what's been your takeaways to this point?
Well, the breaking the plane idea, I like, number one, for in terms of determining offside or not, whether your skate is on the ice or above the ice. But all that does, and I had a longer conversation yesterday with my buddy Greg Brown, voice of the Pirates. He said he had had a dream on the course of the weekend. And that in the dream, the four commissioners of the major sports leagues in North America all got together and announced, and in total agreement, that henceforth all instant replay review will be eliminated from professional sports. And I think that would be absolutely excellent. I would love to see the human element taking over again, notwithstanding what Don Denkinger did to my state of mind back in the 1985 World Series.
But that is a great question to ask, though. Just what if? What if all of a sudden you just wiped it all away and said, you know what? Forget it. We're just going to live with whatever we have.
The officials would be all for it.
You think
refs
so? Yes,
in all sports would raise their hands and high five, and yes, of course.
We'd have no idea how bad Angel Hernandez is.
That's exactly right. Now, let me hit your sweet spot. Let me give you the old number one, because it's something that you and Willie are looking for, communication in the building. Pete, you know we've talked about this, or should I say lack of communication, not to quote rat. But lack of communication, you know, when you make I make a call, how about let a building know, let the broadcasters, let the fans know what the heck is going on. That obviously didn't take place on Saturday. It's something we've discussed.
No, it did not.
Is there anything they can do, and I'll bring this up with David Poile, I think he's going to join us tomorrow, is there anything that can be done where they understand that that is important and they need to fix that. They need to communicate better.
And it's not, Darren, just for me and Willie as broadcasters. It's most important for those people in the stands who pay good money for their tickets to have some concept of what is going on. That's why we mic'd these guys up years ago. And I know on occasion the mics don't work, but that's why we did that. And I think that should be the first order of concern, the first consideration. Make sure the people in the stands have some concept of what the heck is going on the ice, on the field, whatever.
Yeah, and that's what's maddening is now they have the mic, and sometimes they still elect not to inform because we're all in real time trying to pass along to our listeners, viewers, all of that,
right,
what is happening, and they can tell us quicker than anybody else. Otherwise, we have to wait and get it relayed through Toronto or the scorer's table or whatnot. Get an email after the game, which sometimes still doesn't give you the answer you're looking for. So it can be really frustrating.
It's extraordinarily frustrating, and I think that's something that really all sports has to be addressed. But, even like when they have, and here we're getting back to replay again, but we're getting back to umpires on their headsets talking back to the control room in New York, and we should be able to, actually the transparency we have gotten the last several weekends of the XFL, looking at replays, the audience gets a chance to look in as well, I think is absolutely excellent.
Well, let's circle back to what they have decided, where it looks like they've decided,
yeah,
with the breaking the plane. Just for people that maybe haven't followed closely, people might remember the first goal of the Stanley Cup Final of 2017, where the Predators go into the offensive zone. They pass the puck around for a while, and P.K. Subban scores the first goal of the series. Come to find out that it was offside, and it was Philip Forsberg who, this was several passes, several seconds before, and his skate, they couldn't determine whether it was up in the air or not. They said it was. The Predators argued that that was inconclusive at best, but now that would be wiped out, right? That would be, because he was breaking the plane, it wouldn't matter whether his skate's up in the air or not.
Though we would probably that's going to involve replay too, Willie, without question. But it should be a quicker replay, in theory anyway, than what we've endured over the course of the last few years, ever since the most infamous goal Chris Mason ever gave up.
Oh, yes. The Matt Duchene goal.
Yes, yes.
Well, we'll see how that goes, and as we move forward here. Now, Pete, isn't it crazy how you can be sitting? Nashville for 3 months was below that line for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They get up above it for a couple of days. It feels great, and then so quickly now they're back chasing a couple teams. But really, that's the reality, right? It would be nice if they would never have dropped back below. But all of these teams they're fighting for are not perfect teams. It's hard to imagine any of them ripping off 10 straight wins between now and the end of the season. So there's going to be some jockeying here. So you just got to work your way through the tough times here.
Exactly. And tough times potentially coming up Thursday night, Saturday afternoon for the Predators with their third and fourth games of their season series with the Dallas Stars. Looking at what remains here, and a lot of people like to look at the remaining schedules for the teams, only Vancouver has more games left than the Predators. They have 17. The Predators have 16. Minnesota has 16. Arizona, which all of a sudden, you talk about a team that has had a drop here. Arizona has just 15 games left to try to make up these points. This is going to be probably very similar to what we had several years ago when it looked like our very, shall we say, negative in terms of, could the Predators make it? And then they made it in 2017, and look where they ended up in a replay situation in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. But no, they got to the Stanley Cup Final.
Pete, the Stars, let's bring people up to speed on what's happened with them. Of course, the last time the Predators saw them was in the Winter Classic, and we know the story there. They lost Ryan Ellis early in the game. They couldn't hang on to the lead. It was one of the lower points, even though it was such a tremendous spectacle. But since then, Dallas continues to do the same thing. It's good that Ryan Ellis is back in there. I would imagine that there will be some people in Bridgestone Arena tomorrow that remember the Corey Perry play on Ryan Ellis. I would have to think he's going to get some attention tomorrow.
He very well could. Yeah, there could be even, you know, people sticking pins in Corey Perry dolls. I don't know what's going on. You know, do things like the old days, right? But, yeah, Corey Perry will get that attention and maybe more attention than he got since the draft day in 2003 when the Ducks chose him in the at what was the name of the building in 2003? But in any case, drafted right here at 501 Broadway.
Pete, the Stars, since then, their formula hasn't changed, right? They are going to D up. They're going to make it very, very difficult for you to score goals, allowing just 2.53 goals per game. And Nashville, we know right now, has not really had an easy time scoring goals lately. It still continues to be something that's been puzzling for them. So that really is where you start, isn't it?
Yeah, it really has been. Yeah, how do you generate the attack? So the last three games combined, the Predators have totaled 6 goals. The three games prior to that, they scored 11. So it's been a tremendous roller coaster ride and difficult to figure out. And, of course, there are various factors. Last night, there was no Ryan Johansson. There was no Colin Blackwell. But Yakov Trenin, he impressed me, and he has continued to impress me whenever he has been in the lineup. And I would have a difficult time taking him out right now.
Pete, really good stuff. It's going to be a fun atmosphere, but also a little bit subdued considering, you know, what everybody has gone through in this area. It'll be obviously the first gathering since that Monday night / early Tuesday morning. So we will see you at the rink tomorrow and appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this.
Looking forward to it. And for everybody who has had to endure what they have endured over the course of the last few days, we are thinking of you and hope we can reach out to you.
No doubt about it. Appreciate it, Pete.
Take care, guys.
Pete Weber, voice of the Predators. You can hear him in the broadcast booth for every game, and all of them are on radio. You're on 102.5 The Game. Pete Weber and Hal Gill in the booth, and they do a tremendous job. Every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, Chris Mason is driven by Freeland Chevrolet. So we appreciate the visit as always, and we will come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Join us at 102.5 The Game at Walmart at location 7044 Charlotte Pike in Nashville. That'll be this Saturday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Going to be out there giving away prizes and tickets to upcoming Predators games. Plus, Nash will be on hand from 1 until 2 o'clock. Keep that in mind. The Walmart, Charlotte Pike, 7044 to be exact. While you're there, be sure to grab a limited edition of Nashville Predators Dr. Pepper 6-pack. Dr. Pepper, so nice to treat you. That's going to be a good day. A good day at Walmart on Charlotte Pike from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Chances for you to pick up some cool stuff and see Nash from 1 until 2 o'clock. The Stars will be in town tomorrow night, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame, and then in Dallas for a little matinee hockey on Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock start. So keep that in mind on Saturday down in Big D, a 1 o'clock start. I'll have pregame for you at noon. The Stars are very stingy. They don't like to give up very many goals. What are they, second best, you say? Second best in the league?
Yep, second fewest in the league per game, 2.53. Only the Bruins give up less. But Dallas doesn't score a lot. They're going to try to beat you 2-1, 3-2. How big are these games? I mean, you can't say it enough. There's the schedule strength. It's pretty tough for the Predators here. And 5 of the next 6 are on the road, 5 in a row after this one on Thursday.
Well, unfortunately, so much of the theme has been games in hand all year because the Predators have basically played less games than everybody in the league almost the entire year. Well, guess what? Because of February and now March, the two most compact months of the year, the most games they're going to play in the year, most they've caught up to most everybody for the most part. Vancouver In fact, has actually got a game in hand on Nashville now. That tells you. I mean, now Winnipeg has still played a lot, so I think the Preds have two games in hand on the Jets, but now Minnesota has played the same amount. Arizona, there was gaps in the season. The Predators had 4 and 5 games in hand on Arizona, and right now it's one game.
Well, Monday was a big night in that respect. That was a night where there's very few other games. So that was, you could call that one of the games in hand on the entire league. But
so
the
point is, the Predators, unfortunately, have not been able to have that make a difference, right? It's what we've been talking about
for
most of the year.
Well, they still have two games in hand on a lot of these teams. Winnipeg, they have two games in hand.
Well, who
Arizona,
else?
They have two games in hand.
Well, they have one game in hand on Arizona.
You sure?
Yeah. Arizona's played 67 games. Nashville's played 66.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. So, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't, unfortunately, they have not made the most of. And now Colorado's got a game in hand on them. Dallas has played the same amount of games. What we've talked about, they have not taken advantage of. So now they're going to have to take advantage of the 16 left.
It's interesting, this next stretch, there are less back-to-backs. You have Thursday, Saturday, then you go on the road, and the first three are not back-to-backs. You actually have 2 days off. You actually have the Saturday afternoon game. Then you have Sunday and Monday to rest. Monday is a travel day. You go to Montreal. Montreal, Toronto, Columbus, then your next back-to-back. So for the next week or so, you have a busy schedule for sure, but not three games and four nights kind of stuff. So maybe a chance to be a little bit more rested, but really everybody's dealing with this, right? So you're correct. The it's balancing out. You knew by the end of the year, you know, you're not going to be sitting there on April 1st going, well, we've still got two games in hand. We get two more chances against the rest of the league and nobody else is playing. You just got to keep working. Got to keep going.
Unless they were playing a triple header.
Yeah, you don't get to play triple
headers. I don't think you play three days in a row in the NHL. I don't think that happens. So now you got Dallas, and Dallas is still in that third spot. I think it's pretty safe to say, would you agree? And I know there's 16 games left, but it just feels like right now that's your top three in no particular order. It's going to be St. Louis, Colorado, and Dallas. Like I said, I don't know the order because 2 and 3 will have to play each other in the first round. But it just kind of feels like the best that's out there is a wild card spot. True?
For the Predators?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. The Central, like that's what I'm saying. The three are locked in. And everybody else is just fighting for wild card spots. Now, the Pacific, you can't say that. Even though they're starting to, you know, Vegas is starting to pull away. Edmonton's starting to gain some ground. But, you know, that third spot is still wide open. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit more jostling back and forth in the Pacific. Where the Central is, unfortunately, it just feels like it's a wrap. Those are your top three.
It's got to be the wild card. Now Dallas is sitting there at 3. Dallas, you're probably if you're a Stars fan, you're saying is, you know, are you going to be able to catch the two teams in front of you? Is that possible? That would take a pretty good run to do that, or are you kind of locked into that 3 position?
It really doesn't mean – it means nothing unless you win the division.
Right, and then the last few games, well, it's home ice advantage in the first round for whatever you think that's worth.
I was going to say, is that – how much – are you really battling to the – I don't know how much stock is put into that or not.
And then the last couple of games, they might have to sit there and say, do we play guys that might be banged up and try to move up to second? Or do we just rest those guys and say, you know, if we finish third, we finish third? That might be where they are because they've done enough. They're sort of cruising. I wouldn't say coasting, but they're cruising towards the playoffs. Now, last night you mentioned, you know, Edmonton goes down to Dallas. They sweep the back-to-backs. They win in Nashville with the huge third period. Then they go down to Dallas and win. But statistically, if you look, and I'm just reading up on this in preparation for tomorrow. But the Oilers won 2-1 in overtime, but Dallas had 43 shots and really controlled the possession of the game. Mikko Koskinen is the backup goalie for the Oilers. He played a great game. So we'll see what that means. What does Dallas look like here? Because if Dallas has their offense cranking, that usually means really good things for them. They're a team that usually just gets enough offense and plays the great defense. But they figure, okay, if we have enough nights where Jamie Benn and Radulov and those guys do their thing, we're going to win every time if that happens. So we haven't seen them since January. So I don't know what the matchup's going to look like. Where are the Predators now? How much better are they? Because the last two times they played, the one was the Winter Classic. We know what happened there. Mm-hmm. The one before that, remember, was a really 4-1. Disappointing
4-1.
Loss where Dallas ran away
with
it late.
2 weeks before the Winter Classic.
Had that bad feeling of what's happening here? Yep. What's going on?
If the second team is Colorado, I don't know how much Dallas is going to battle there at the end, because you know who the best team in the league on the road is?
Colorado?
Yeah, they're the best team in the league.
Yeah.
On the road. They have 23 road wins. So, I don't know what you're really battling for if it comes down to you in Colorado late in the season. It's like, oh, to get home ice, and you would have the team that's the best road team in the league. So I don't really know how much effort you want to put into that in, you know, let's say your final two or three games, if that's all it's about.
Yeah.
But I don't think St. Louis.
I think a lot of teams, like, let's take the Predators' last week of the season, right? Let's just say that for the Predators, you go into April 1st with three games to go, and you have the following schedule. Let's pull it up here. Let's see how quick I can do it. I know what the last couple of games are, but you might have teams in that spot. The last game of the year is against the Wild. Now, think about that. That could be a game to get in or not get in. That could.
Who are you talking about?
The Predators.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to play Montreal on the front end of back-to-backs at home. They're probably going to be out of it by then. So who will be playing for Montreal? What's their state of mind at that point? Who knows? Then you're at Philadelphia on Tuesday. Now, that could be a team that has to win that game. They're a great team at home, by the way. But they also could be barely in, clinched, and they're needing to rest some guys.
Philly is 23-5-4 at home this year.
Is that good?
That's good.
Is that pretty good?
That's good.
But, you know, those last few games can definitely go a couple of different ways. And then Minnesota, by then they could be way out of it. They could be in it. I mean, who knows? The Predators could be out of it. But you got to hope that the Predators are still in the mix in one form or fashion. Another thing, coming attractions in March, right, just to illustrate how tough the schedule is, you have this back-to-back. This one is fun. At Arizona on Saturday, at Colorado on Sunday. Now, think
about
it.
Two late games.
And those places aren't, you know, next door to each other. I've done that before. Flying from one to the other and having to play the other, that's a long flight. That's not hopping from
Phoenix to Denver.
That's not hopping from Philadelphia up to Boston or Boston up to New York. You know, that's,
well, what is it?
It's a couple hours.
Is it really?
Oh yeah,
a flight from Phoenix to
Denver.
Another
one that's tough is
Denver to Phoenix.
Winnipeg to Minnesota wouldn't seem that far, but that's a decent flight too. So that's a tough back to back.
So that's what the Predators are facing the rest of this week. Dallas at home tomorrow night, and then a matinee in Dallas on Saturday.
Yep. Then you regroup, and you've got a four-game road trip after that. Montreal, Toronto, and then Columbus, Minnesota, back-to-back.
Yep. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase. First, I want to talk to all the men out there. You've heard me for years talk about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and you know, and they know, a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician over there, is front and center on that quest to helping you. His wife, Daphne Lodge, is also very helpful as the registered nurse. And their experienced staff want to give you men out there the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And as we all get older, we know things are breaking down, numbers start falling, you don't feel the same. Well, they can help you in a lot of areas. And they've already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, make the appointment by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. I saw the, you know, yesterday was, we were engulfed, Willie, in what was going on in our area, and then we had a game last night, but, so I tried to get a little caught up. I got home last night, and I see this crazy story. I didn't realize that obviously it had been one of the big stories yesterday, and this probably hits home for Elijah since he's a huge basketball fan, but the battle now with Spike Lee and James Dolan. Have you seen this? You're a New York guy.
I have not.
Oh, it's not good.
It's getting a little saucy over there in New York.
A little?
Oh, like Charles Oakley style saucy.
Oh, yes. Well, Spike Lee has come out and said, I'm done. Done. I'm not going back to another game this year. I'm done. Because evidently for, I guess, 20 years. Now, help me with this. He's had like a special elevator or a special way he gets to his floor seats.
Yeah, it's an entrance into the arena that he claims he's used for the past 20-some-odd years. And the New York Knicks, or James Dolan, released a statement saying that he was trying to go through the media and handicap entrance. And so there's a who-do-you-believe kind of thing there. And, of course, Spike Lee went on, well, I think it was First Take yesterday.
Yes, it
was. To give his side to the whole thing. And that's what they kind of argued about, because there was a videoed confrontation between him and New York Knicks staff at that entrance, arguing about him coming in. And you could be heard that he's like in the background saying that he's done this for 20-some-odd years, and no one's told him that he can't go in through there.
Without being there night in, night out, and really knowing the lay of the land. Doesn't everybody, I would think, who works there, doesn't everybody in New York City know, especially who's at a Knicks game?
Right.
Whether you're a worker, a fan, or whoever. Like, doesn't everybody know Spike Lee? Like, he's been sitting courtside for two plus decades.
And that's
spending
the thing about Spike
millions
Lee.
And millions of dollars decked out in his, you know, his mm-hmm. Knicks stuff. Doesn't everybody know Spike Lee? So if the answer is yes, why would you ever go down this road of trying to, you know, what are you trying to accomplish by this? By making him go to another entrance? I mean, what? Who
right.
cares?
It's, James Dolan has a nice little history of being petty,
as
we've all kind of figured out. But my favorite part about this whole thing is Spike Lee is done with the Knicks, not because their performance on the court.
No, not because they're crappy.
Or the fact that James Dolan has promised he's going to land a superstar in the last decade, and all they've had to show for it is extra cap space and Taj Gibson. That's not what turned him off. It was not being able to come through one entrance that he comes through in all the time. I'd have been done 10 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, the fact that he's still been going this whole time, and when's the last time he's seen a relevant game
at
MSG?
Like, again, from 30,000 feet. That is what strikes me. Spike Lee is about as dedicated as it gets. So, like, I know New York is not like Nashville. Like, if I would think that there's a lot of people that just know the people that come there every night, whether you're a celebrity or not, right? But especially if you're a regular like Spike Lee, like, it's Spike Lee. No matter what door he's going in, doesn't the person know that it's Spike Lee? He's there every night, courtside.
Why fight that battle?
That's weird.
Why go down that road? He's responsible for millions and millions of dollars in his tickets over two plus decades. Why? And James Dolan doesn't do anything to help the situation at all. I mean, literally nothing. Now you've got Charles Oakley coming out and saying that he wants the league to look into the ownership of the Knicks, which, I mean, I don't even think it's arguable. Everybody knows that James Dolan's the worst owner in professional sports. Forget the NBA. He's the worst owner in sports. He is.
I think it's he is going to finish at the top of the list.
He has to.
Most, and there's some competition. There's some pretty good competition.
There's competition. Adam Vinken has popped in here. What do you – who is – when I say that, you're like, who's worse?
James Dolan is pretty bad. Off the top of my head, the only other one that came to mind, or the first one that came to mind, was Eugene Melnyk, the owner of the Ottawa Senators.
He's catching speed.
But James
Dolan obviously has much more of a profile, being the owner of the Knicks and the Rangers.
Yeah.
Where would you put Daniel Snyder on the list?
He's there.
As someone who lived in Washington, D.C. for close to 8 years, he would be up there too.
Yeah.
Does Dolan own Madison Square Garden as well? Or does he just own the Knicks and the Rangers and, I guess, the WNBA team?
Well, all the renovations were on his watch, right?
So I guess he just owns Madison Square Garden and its other properties.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically his place. Wow. It's a mess.
But it's interesting because you only hear about it with the Knicks, because he's more front-facing with the Knicks than he is with the Rangers. You very rarely hear any issues.
Does he go to Rangers games?
I mean, I would have to imagine so if he owns the team or has a majority stake in the team.
The Rangers are one of the few New York teams, especially the high-profile New York teams. Like, there's a difference between the Rangers and the Islanders in the profile.
Yes.
Right? They play in Manhattan. They have a longer history. It's hard sometimes for those teams to break it down and announce basically that you're rebuilding. And actually go through it, they're actually ahead of the curve.
They might make the playoffs.
Right now, they have a chance to sort of have their cake and eat it too. But that is a very un-James Dolan kind of thing, right, where the Knicks have constantly tried to just throw money and fix their own problem and dug the hole deeper as a result. The Rangers have been burned on that in past years, but they've become a little smarter.
And I am familiar with the entrance that Spike Lee is referring to, because that is the entrance that I enter Madison Square Garden through when I cover Predators games against the New York Rangers.
Is this at the street level?
It's
where you walk up the...
It's street level near the back of the building, facing the old post office that's sort of behind the building. So there's that back entrance to Penn Station, but there's a clear...
Which is a train station for people that haven't pictured it.
It's a clear sign that says media, employee, whatever. I think I've seen a VIP entrance. I think, as Spike Lee said on First Take yesterday, it might be on the other side of the building. It seems like a petty thing to pick a fight over, but I would say petty and James Dolan go
his middle
hand
name
in hand.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite stories about James Dolan are the times where he has removed reporters from... First of all, James Dolan has a band. I'm not sure if people know that. James Dolan has a band. He's the front man, and I believe the guitar player, Willie can correct me, of this band. And there have been stories of reporters who have gone to his performances to talk to him, who have been removed by security, as well as just hecklers, people who just don't like James Dolan, who are maybe fans of the Knicks or what have you, who have gone to these shows for the sole purpose of heckling James Dolan, and he has had them removed by security because, in the way he sees it, he's the performer, and he has the right to remove the person from the venue. So Petty is his middle name. If it's not officially on his birth certificate, you know, it's certainly a nickname.
That might be the second best James Dolan band story, because I've read where he will have group parties for MSG and Knicks employees at like the end of each season, and him and his band is the live performance.
He's such a cheeseball. Oh, he's a dope. He's so bad. So the question is, when you have really, 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 really bad ownership, and you've got a record of showing really, really bad ownership, is there anything, or should a league be able to come in and say, figure this out or get out?
I mean, there have been examples of that throughout history. I can't recall any, but I feel like there have been examples of that, haven't there?
No, not if they didn't mess up and do, you know, Sterling.
Right.
You know, that, yes. So you have, unless there's a controversy. I'm talking about where they just, everybody, like Daniel Snyder, everybody knows that he's a bad owner.
Yes.
But he hasn't done anything. You know, there hasn't been this controcibly
removed, you mean, for something other than a, a controversy.
Like something crazy happened where it's the easier out for the league to finally swoop in and go, okay, let's get rid of this bozo. Here's our chance.
Yeah.
Where they just go to him and say, you know what? We feel like this organization should be better run. Like, you're not good at what you're doing. Like, we need you to sell it to somebody who will do a better job. Like, we don't have any history of that, right? Showing that the leagues can do that. So the question is, should they be able to do that? Should that be part of, you know, your clause, whatever they have as an owner that you have to do to buy into a league? And they have rules that you're still a part of a league that you would have to – I don't know what it would be. That's a really tough thing. You don't – you know, how do you say, well, you must have a certain record. You can't do that. But I don't know. I don't know how you get specific of what it would take for the league to step in and say, you stink. We're going to have to ask you to sell.
I think that was the storyline of the final season of Ballers on HBO.
Was it?
Am I the only one who watches Ballers?
No, I've watched Ballers.
I do not.
I didn't watch it religiously.
Where Dwayne The Rock Johnson at one point in the final season was the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. For whatever.
And see, they got rid of him, and look
what
they
did. Or they tried to, at least.
And they went to the Super Bowl and won. So, yeah, look, they did the right thing. I don't know. It's pretty interesting. I don't – you say that – I don't know if there's an example out there where that's happened.
I don't think there is where – where there hasn't been some sort of preceding controversy. Donald Sterling is the best example.
Yeah.
You know, there hasn't been an issue where the league is just like – this team could be better operated. He hasn't done anything wrong, per se, but this team could be better operated, so we're going to vote him out.
And he was an awful owner for decades. Awful.
Donald Sterling?
Yes, awful.
I'm combining Daniel Snyder with Donald Sterling. I keep trying to call him Daniel Sterling.
Donald Sterling was an awful, awful, awful owner. And like I said, when this surfaced, this video, this controversy, it gave them their – they're out to get him out. But he wasn't – make no mistake about it, he was a terrible owner for the Clippers for a long time.
Well, he tried to – they were in San Diego when he purchased them, right? And then just shipped them to L.A. because he wanted to be in L.A.?
Man, Willie, you talking about bust draft picks? How many times did the Clippers miss on the number one overall pick?
In the 80s, all the time.
Was it Michael Olowokandi,
Michael Olowokandi,
pick?
I don't –
he was with the
–
that's when they were with the Clippers. I can't remember when they were in San Diego, though.
And he played
Danny Manning was one.
He played at
Reggie
what?
Williams from Georgetown
Pacific,
was one.
Yeah.
Michael Olowokandi?
Pacific?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just had a great nickname, the Candyman.
Yeah.
The Candyman couldn't in that particular round.
Did they take Danny Ferry early first round 1 year or two?
Yep.
I mean, not that he was a bad player, but just
– don't hate on Danny Ferry.
No, he was a solid pro, but
– yes. He was a much better collegiate
draft.
He was a much better collegiate player.
Reggie Williams was a great collegiate player. He was like a high first-round pick for the Clippers, too. Not a great pro.
Yeah. Adam, good to
Danny
see you.
Danny Manning, same thing. Danny Manning.
Thanks for letting me barge in on your radio show while I'm here for other business.
We'll come back and wrap up Wednesday's show next. Our friend Johnny tweeted at us, Willie, and said, and Adam, he included you too. He said, would Jim Bosilli count as a guy who kept trying to buy NHL teams and Lee kept saying no?
Yeah, that would count.
But he was never the owner.
He was never in the club. Okay. He was excluded from the club.
We'll give him an asterisk. How about that?
But how bad of a decision would that have been if they would have ever caved and let him own an NHL team? I mean, what's his money situation? It can't be anywhere near what he thought, you know, back then when BlackBerry
I
was.
I was about to say, I don't see very many BlackBerries anymore.
I'm still waiting for the 30 for 30 to come out on his trials and tribulations with the three different teams he tried to buy. He screwed up all three. He should have had any of the three if he just had played his cards.
He was a dope.
Yes.
And his attorney, Richard Rodier, was a dope too.
We're very thankful that he was a dope.
No doubt. We heard Pete Weber say that Claudio Weber and a group were supposed to go to Italy, and they have canceled their trip, obviously, for coronavirus. this just out, that the Italian government has ordered all sporting events to take place without fans until April 3rd. How about that? All sporting events for the next month, no fans. That's what the Italian government has ordered for all sporting events.
Now that is a big decision. Think about the economic ramifications of that. All of that, that is huge. No athletic events.
None. Next month.
Now, Adam, you informed us, too, not only of this story, but also something that hits closer to home.
Yes.
In terms of the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yes, I was watching Around the Horn last evening, and the first topic of conversation, and this is coming from CBS News. This is a story written yesterday. Quote, the National College Players Association, the NCPA, a nonprofit group that advocates on behalf of college athletes, said on a statement on Saturday that, quote, there should be a serious discussion about holding competitions without an audience present. The NCAA, which oversees college sports, isn't doing enough to protect young athletes from the disease, the group added. Basically, that group is suggesting that the NCAA tournament be held in empty arenas. No fans, no band, no cheerleaders, no mascots, just two basketball teams.
The whole tournament?
The entire tournament.
Wow. I would imagine things would have to change quite a bit to get to that point where you would really consider that. But why would you even play the game? Like, if Italy is saying, if it's that bad, we're not going to play. We're not going to gather this many people. You would still play the game but not have any crowd there. What about all the players interacting, playing, flying around? I don't know. Wouldn't there still be a risk there? I guess you would still minimize it. But
they would all have to play in hazmat suits.
You don't remember this?
This is compelling.
You weren't here at the time. Willie was not there either.
I was there the day before, but I left before
you did.
The storm hit.
Adam, I was in the Georgia Dome in Atlanta for the SEC men's basketball tournament when the tornado hit. That night I was in the dome, and it was bad. And they canceled everything that night, and the next morning they said, we're bagging it at the Georgia Dome. They played the SEC men's basketball tournament on campus at Georgia Tech. And Georgia ended up playing how many games? What was it, ended up four or five and won the tournament? They played two games in one day.
Yeah.
But the point is, it was in front of no one.
They wouldn't let the crowd in.
They would not let anyone in.
Not for health purposes.
Same deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody was allowed to go. So they played the SEC men's basketball tournament on the campus of Georgia Tech in front of no one.
Interesting.
And Georgia seemed to respond to that.
Is it because they were used to playing in front of nobody?
I just said that they seemed to respond to that. I don't know what that means.
Well, the Orioles played the game. Remember our buddy Caleb Joseph?
That's right. I forgot about that.
In front of no one against the White Sox?
Yeah, because of the issues on the
Baltimore.
On the streets of Baltimore, they had a game where nobody was allowed in the stadium.
That is exactly right. Good stuff. All right, that will do it for our show today. We will be over at Pete and Terry's Tavern tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena, getting ready for the Predators and Stars. And we're going to tell you tomorrow how you can help. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on at the arena tomorrow for you to help the people in need. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. See you then.
Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer.